Shalom, everyone, and today we are learning Parashat Vayetze. Parashat Vayetze is in the book of Exodus, Bereshit, chapter 28, verse 10. And we're also celebrating the new moon of Kislev, Sagittarius. And what does that have to tell us about the coming weeks? Especially when we're living in a very, very colorful era, eventful, challenging, you just name it. It's not normal, and relatively to the past, this is really, challenging. And let us try to understand the message. It's a very hard message to get. It is the most important message to get. Getting that message will solve us a lot of problems in our everyday lives. So, first of all, when we read the book of Genesis, I remember some 25 years ago, there were a few articles in the Time magazine of some famous professors of academy doing research over the book of Genesis. And each one of them brought their view, point of view, and they came out with the conclusion that the book of Genesis, most of the book, is a story of a dysfunctional family. Like we read last week, Esau is coming home from hunting. He's very, very, very hungry. His brother is making a lentil stew. And of course, this is normal. You're coming home, your brother is making food, you sit to dinner, and your brother serves you the stew he made. Okay? Now, Jacob is saying, you want the stew, you have to sell your birthright to me. Okay, is this normal for family? Here we have in this parasha, Jacob is going to his uncle, his mother's brother, to get married to one of his daughters. He meets Rachel. She is the younger. Leah is the older. So maybe Leah, some tradition says Leah is for Esau, Rachel is for Jacob. End of story. Says, I'll work 7 years. 7 years I'll work for you, so you can give me Rachel, not for free. Okay. 7 years later, he's so much in love, he doesn't care. 7 years later, and who is replacing Rachel under the chuppah? Lavan. It's like he's the uncle. But the whole story is a love hate. No, there's no love, there's hate. There's like jealousy between. So this is a dysfunctional family. Normal families don't behave this way. So what kind of an example do I want to take from this book? And the answer is like this. If you read this book as a story, the Zohar says very clear, you're going around the world, you'll find much nicer stories than that. The Torah is not a story. The Torah is teaching us how our subconscious is structured. How do we structure our own consciousness to be able to achieve the goal of real success? This is a story, no other story. So, in order to explain to us what's going on, because in this parasha, Jacob is running away from his brother. Why? His brother wants to kill him. Okay, very functional family, right? One brother wants to kill the other. Of course, Esau has a reason because Jacob stole the blessing. Okay, very, very logical. Brothers always fight on the blessings and they cheat the parents for that. Okay. What are you talking about? And then Jacob is leaving Beersheba. He goes to his uncle in Haran. And the story is that he comes, we won't go into the details right now, later on. He falls asleep on his way. He bumps into this place, he gets into the place, he has no idea what it is. The sun sets, he has to go to sleep. He has a dream, the famous Jacob's ladder dream. How many pieces of art tried to give us the image of Jacob's ladder? Some of the most talented artists in the history of the world tried to make a painting or a statue, trying to give us the feel of what does it mean, Jacob's ladder. This is much deeper than that. Okay, Jacob comes to Haran, he meets Rachel. He knows they both, the moment they meet, they both know they're meant for each other. Jacob waited for that moment almost all his life. But he has no penny. Why? His brother's son robbed him from all his fortune on the way. Just he spared him because his father told him to kill. So Jacob's nephew going to kill him. And Jacob says, you know, if somebody is poor, he's counted as dead. So I'll give you all the money. I'll give you all my jewels, whatever, all my gold that I take to Haran in order to pay for my bride. Okay? And I'm considered dead. I'm not going to rise from here. He comes to Laban, he's rising. He's coming penniless. Okay? He gets into this trouble. He works 7 years for Rachel. And what does Laban do? He switches Rachel that night with Leah. And Jacob wakes up in the morning, and who does he see? Leah lying in bed next to him. Oh my God, this is a nightmare. You know, you've been at night, not with your beloved, that you are dreaming about her many, who knows how many years, even before you met her. It's a sister. So now, he's working 7 more years for Rachel. And then there are stories about the birth and how they fight with each other. 12 children are being born. Okay. And then Laban is cheating Jacob. Jacob wants to, you know, I'm working very hard. I'm making Laban rich. So, very weird story about the pieces of wood that he plants in front of the flocks, and the flocks, because of that, something they come out with spots and patterns on their fur. What is this story about? So let us try to understand what's in it for us and why this parasha is so much important for all of us, especially nowadays. When we read the story of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, it's not the story of a dysfunctional family. We are reading something very important for our well-being because when we are talking about the patriarchs, as it's called in the English language, in Hebrew, they're called, you know, the word patriarch is a Latin word. It shows like something doesn't belong to everyday life. You know, you usually don't use this word in daily speech in English. Well, in Hebrew, they are called Ha'avot, the fathers, simple as that. And Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, they are called Ha'imaot, the mothers. Very simple. A word that is being used daily by everyone. So when we call Ava, we don't call him Abram the patriarch. It's like something remote. We call him in Hebrew, Avram Avinu, Abram our father. Very simple. Yeah, he's a great, 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 great. But we know today that Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, they are the founding fathers of the Jewish people, okay? The Israelite nation. The problem is, it's much deeper than that. This is not the story of a dysfunctional family. We are talking about something that is beyond that. And what does that mean? In Hebrew, there is another word for that we use in, for father is called avtipus, or what's known in English, a prototype. When you build a, let's say, when a great motor car company wants to create a new best-selling car, the first, so they make a new a lot of trials, a lot of designs, technology, till you create what we call a prototype. And the moment we have the prototype, this prototype is a source for all the models of cars that will be developed from that original prototype. And you could see, the moment you understand the prototype, you see the design of the car and the abilities, the functional, that the functionalities of the car, you know it's all coming from the same prototype. If you are into the design, if you are into the technology, you understand what's going on over here. It's all coming from one prototype. We have Abraham and Sarah, Jacob and Rivka, Jacob and Rachel and Leah. Each one of them is a prototype for the an aspect, an attribute, a virtue we have every human being to develop in his or her own soul in order to be functional, in order to be able to call yourself successful. And why? Let us explain. When we studied about Abraham and Sarah, we studied about the prototype of chesed, which means unconditional love, giving unconditionally, sharing unconditionally, which means this is the aspect of chesed, giving. And why is it first? Why is it so important? Abraham is the first of all of them. And the answer is very simple. Because I don't know if you know the expression, start with the right foot. What does it mean, start with the right foot? Abraham. Abraham is a state of mind of giving. Why giving is so overwhelmingly important? Because according to the law of attraction, the law of affinity, similarities attract. You want to be successful, the first thing is you have to get online, in touch, aligned with the network of the Tree of Life, the network of God. What is the dominant power in the network of God? So we learn giving, sharing. What's the first thing we know about God? Giving. He gave life to every living thing. He is giving life as we speak. Every split second, the world is being nourished, sustained, and blessed by the Creator himself. Every split second, again and again and again. If that does not happen, if the bliss is not being given, we'll all just stop from being in existence. So what sustains our reality through every dimension of our reality? God's endless flow of giving. And that is being renewed maybe a billion times every second. Okay? If you ever learn about electricity, we know that electricity in a household is the same thing. It's coming and going. Okay? It's AC. It's coming and going like so many times every second, because if it's just going, it's going to blow us up. So it's coming and going. It's this on and off, but so fast we don't realize that. This is being borrowed, according to the Kabbalists, this is being borrowed from the way the Creator is sustaining his creation. If he will put all his might, power, and life into his creation, we will blow because his power is so beyond what we are and where we are, it will blow. So it's coming and going so many times every split second, we don't even realize that. Then that means that every split second, the whole world is like being recreated. By what? By the giving, the infusion of life into our reality by the Creator Himself. So the world is being created ongoingly every split second. So we don't bless God who created the universe some who knows how long ago. We create God who is creating the universe every day anew. HaMechadesh Olamo, that he's renewing his world every moment, again and again and again. The question is like this: how can we tap into that universe of the Creator that is beyond our physical senses, the universe from which sustenance, fulfillment, life, infusion of life, how do we connect to the source of all of that? And the answer is by the law of attraction, you need to assume responsibility for the power of love, unconditional love. Why? Because when we generate unconditional love to other people, that brings us to that frequency that aligns us with the love of the Creator. And therefore, since this is the most essential aspect for a human being to be able even to be in the game, to be in the game, to know what you're doing over here. What about the others? The others, they're not really in the game. Their life force is dwindling by the second. They simply die slow, painful death. Why? Because according to the law of attraction or the law of affinity, if you create all the time the frequency of loving unconditionally, and even if you're the subject of your giving, they never say thank you, or they never appreciate. Okay? You're not becoming a victim. You know that your giving was not for the sake of them saying thank you, those people that I shared with. I did it because that is the way to connect to the creation, to the Creator and his network and his frequency. You want to live, you want to really live, to feel that you live, you have to be a giving creature. And that's why Abraham is a prototype of that giving creature that we need to affiliate ourselves with. So all those stories that we read about Abraham, and especially when he has that revelation, God comes to visit him after he's circumcised. Remember, the place of the circumcision in such an age, he was 99, he's swollen, painful, unbearable. And Abraham is meditating in front of the tent. He has a vision. He has a vid God comes to visit him. And then he realizes that he can't just receive so much power, so much light, because it will kill you. So how do you turn that energy of death into life? You give. So Abraham is stressed out. There are no guests. So God realized that, and he's sending him to three angels. Abraham sees them. That's a magic. You see what God wants you to see. Okay? Whoever wants to see the truth, the Zohar says, who do you think you are? And you're supposed to see the truth. Do you really know what to do with the truth when you see it? Whatever you see, and you think that this is the truth, go for it to show that you're worthy of realizing what is the truth. But if you're not walking on the road of truth, why would you be able to see that? It's going to be very embarrassing, upsetting. No, you don't want really to see the truth. Although a lot of people say, I would like to know all the truth, nothing but the truth. No, you don't really. If you really knew exactly how much do you lie to yourself and to others, it's not nice. So Isaac represents that part of the human being, that part of judgment. You have to know how to put a barrier. You have to know how to put the limit. You have to know how to sort things through and say, this is mine, this is his. Okay? This is right, this is wrong. This I accept, this one, you kill me, I don't accept it. It's like there's right and wrong. And you have to follow that. And that is Isaac. Isaac and Rivka. And after you have both ideas, the right side and the left side, the side of giving and sharing and caring and doing for others, and the side about, you know, if I don't breathe out, I won't be able to breathe in. If I don't take, there's no way I can give. And that is being generated by Isaac. So the stories about Isaac, it's like, whatever, this is what Isaac is about. And then who comes out of it? So why do you need a third prototype? What does Jacob have to add to that? Jacob was what we call the central column. If Abraham was the right column, giving and loving, and Isaac was the left column, which means I have my own desires, urges, needs, okay? And I have to celebrate them. However, there's a little problem. If we just go around putting on our flag all what we need, all what we want, first of all, this is kind of scary. Other people, it's like, why? When you come to somebody with and all what you have to say and generate and project is, I want to eat you up. I want your money. I want your energy. I want your power. I want this and this and this and this. The moment you're just into wanting, then people run away from you. Why? You know, we met enough people that came just to take. And every time we felt more depleted. So I'm not giving because I have to. I'm giving because I need to give. The giving puts me in a place I would like to be. The giving puts me on that frequency of Abraham. So when I'm giving and I'm contemplating that when I'm giving to others, service, whatever, I am right now strengthening the Abraham within me. Very simple. So that will be able to function. And when I'm receiving and I'm putting boundaries and I'm trying to be polite, but what can I say? But very decisive, to be assertive, that this is judgment. So you have that place in you where you're holding that vision of Isaac. But if it's just Abraham, it doesn't work. You know, if you notice people that just, I'm totally obsessed with giving. Sooner or later, something will happen and they will feel depleted, robbed, cheated. I was so excited about giving, and then I figured out when I need somebody else will take care of me. And nobody takes care of me. That happens too much. So how do you solve that? I'm there for others, okay? I'm not giving everything to every person, but in large, I'm giving a lot. And what happens is when things don't go my way, you see those people who gave and gave and gave and gave and upset. Oh God, I gave so much. How come now you put me in a place of need? Because when you are just giving, you have to remember, sooner or later, your main being that I want to receive will pop up. Okay? And that will shatter the image you try to build yourself. You have to admit that you are here to receive. We are not doing like teachings, there are other teachings of many religions that say we human beings, we came to this world just to learn how not to receive anything. Okay? How to be just givers. And whoever is a taker, oh, terrible, terrible to be a taker. But according to what we study in the Kabbalistic writings, we're not here to give. We're here to receive. Yes, in order to receive, I need to give. When I give, I'm connecting to the main power source. When I'm connected to the main power source, I can receive the life force of any kind of bliss that will be manifest in my life. So, when we understand that we have to develop this virtue that Abraham symbolized, that great giving without any conditions, on one hand, the other hand, Abraham also knows how to put the barriers. He knows that he has to, he's binding Isaac in the story of the binding of Isaac. He learns that he cannot have just chesed, just grace and loving kindness without some judgment putting the boundaries. Same thing with Isaac. You must have desires. You can't shut them down. You cannot detach from them. This is basically detaching from who you are, what you are, and your main goal on earth. To receive. God the Almighty, He created us as vessels to receive so He can share with us His infinite bliss. So, again, how did we solve the problem? Because when I only give, you say it's not right. Why? I'm here to receive. When I'm just giving and giving, finally I'll be depleted and I have nothing to give anymore. And I'll be like miserably, bitterly. Sitting in an old age home, being sore, feeling sorry for myself because all my life I gave so much and now nobody cares about me. Do we know these kind of stories? Of course, too many. On the other hand, when I'm connecting to the Isaac side of my character, of my soul, that part that wants to receive whatever fulfillment possible. This is also have a limited dimension because when I just receive, I'm getting the farthest away from the network of God. The more selfish I am, the less light I receive. Why? Very normal. I'm simply going astray from the road of the light. The road of the light is about giving, sharing, and kindness. So, you know. You can't just think all the time about your own needs and be a kind person. It's very hard. So, how do we settle between the two sides, Abraham and Jacob? And the answer, Abraham and Isaac, giving and receiving. Okay? You cannot be giver and receiver logically, but then comes Jacob. And Jacob is bringing to the world that great, amazing idea, is which is the prototype of the vessel that receives in order to share. Okay, which means again, when you take the vessel and you allow the vessel to just be free, what happens? Troubles upon troubles. Whenever I'm letting all my urges and needs to take over, that's going to be a mess, all of us. If I wake up exactly when I feel like, am I going to sleep exactly when I feel like? And I go to work or I work whenever, if I feel like, okay? And all that stuff, it's like if I just, you know, I need to go to the bathroom. So, like a baby, I do it whenever I feel like, even though I'm just. Let's say I just got into a store or I'm at work in the middle of a meeting with very important customers. So you can't do that. You have to realize that you, civilized human beings, they are basically trained since birth to be able to take a hold over their bodily urges. Okay? So you can't just because I want. You want to sanctify your desires, and I'm really meaning that, sanctify, to make them pure and holy. You use those desires for the sake of other people's growth. That's called professionalism. When you are a great professional, you are an architect, a physician, a plumber, whatever, a designer. You are facing somebody else's need and you're finding a solution to that need. You help that person. You really get them out of trouble because you care for them. And because you care for them, you'll find a solution that fits their needs and fits the law. Let's say for your lawyer, or if you're an architect, there's a law of the code of the building in your zone, whatever your county. All of that stuff, you're doing it as service. However, there are professionals who are failures, and there are the ones who are a great success. What's the difference? If you really check it in, you'll find out that the ones who are really successful, these are the ones that really care, which means they found the true meaning, the true solution, the true secret. What is a secret? If I really care for that customer, let's say, and he comes with a peculiar problem, and I really care for that person, I will find the solution, even though I'm not aware of it right now. I will find a solution. Find a way to make it feasible, legal, possible. Okay? That's a true professional. A terrible professional, which is not really professional, you will bring him the problem and he will tell you how terrible is the problem. That's not a professional. That's somebody who doesn't want to work. Okay? A real professional, he will stand in front of your problem and will say, you know what? I've never seen such a problem. But you know what? I'm a great professional. I will find the answer. And when they find the answer and they serve you the answer and they help you and they support you and they go with you as you build your house or your home, whatever. And they are supporting your need. They are giving, but meanwhile, when they give to you, you know, we say it's a blessing. What does it mean it's a blessing? If I got myself rich by learning, by accumulating fortune, hours, and so on, and I can use that to save somebody else from deep anguish, wow! Because I gave from my guts, I gave from my inner being. When I give that to others, and that resurrects them, save their lives, save the moment. Okay? I'm basically feeling fulfilled because I achieved my mission. My mission was not making a lot of money. My mission was to be talented enough, to be strong enough, to be creative enough so I can get the solution to the right person. I hope you understand what I'm saying, because if you are a professional like this, which means when you really want to be a greater professional so you can give genuinely more help to people of need. So, in a case like this, when you have the desire to succeed, but it's because you really want other people to be successful, You know somewhere inside, the real answer will come later on. And it does come later on. In a most weird way. Why is it? Because when our giving is so genuine, with such a deep faith, that because I am doing what I'm doing, helping another person unconditionally, okay, I am basically raising myself and connecting myself to another dimension, a dimension in which the receiving, Isaac, and the giving, Abraham, they synthesize into what we call the desire to receive for the self sake of giving. And what does that mean? That when we overcome our selfishness, you know, even feeling a victim, that's a selfishness, because I gave and I gave and I gave. I expected the recipients to reciprocate the way I think is fair. They are not mind readers. They didn't get what I want. And they gave what they think I wanted. Okay? How does that make me feel? Either I can say, what a blessing, I helped other people. Or I say, wow, this is horrible. I gave and I gave and I gave and nobody really appreciated. I have a choice to make. The choice that Jacob is bringing to this world is a choice of synthesis. When I realize that the person that needs my support, me giving him the support, will basically give me the elevation, the ascendance that I need to move forward. What about the other person? That will happen when I really care for that somebody who is in need. I think that I'm giving, and really I am receiving. What do I receive? You know, when we give, we receive a light that is so powerful. We spoke about it. The Kabbalists call it the Or de Chasadim, the light of Chasadim, loving kindness. That light that is being generated by your own passion about giving is becoming a reward by itself. It's because it's my own creation. Whenever we create giving for others beyond our comfort zone, we create that light that finally is the Redeemer. Okay, now this is that's the power of Abraham and Isaac. And what about Jacob? As we said, this is a synthesis. The ability to synthesize, the ability to be able to sit there, to realize, I gave so much, and to be aware to the idea that you're rich as much as you gave. Because the real, true richness is being measured by the how much did you do really physically in this physical world? That's how it's being measured. So it's not about what your opinions are about, like in many religions. It's about what your actions are about. And if you are doing a lot of great actions of giving and sharing out of your way, you think like Abraham, you know, I'm just doing that for others. And you realize later on, that became the legacy of Abraham. And that means you want to save yourself from all the troubles of our reality. Get out of your selfishness. And what's the name of this parasha? Vayetze. And he got out. He got out. Got out of what? When we say, and he got out, we say he got out of the of the box. Out thinking outside the box. Okay? And here we are, as the Zohar is explaining, when it says the name of Parasha, he got out, Jacob gets out of Beersheba and he goes to Haran. Okay, Beersheba is in the south of Israel. Haran is in the south of Israel. If you look at the map of the Mediterranean, you see that the shores of the eastern Mediterranean is basically to the direction of north-south. And then it starts to turn 50 degrees to east west. These are the coast of Egypt, Africa, and the Sinai Peninsula. Where does it start to ship upwards, northwards, around Beersheba? Okay, it goes all the way up to Turkey in the eastern side of the Mediterranean. It goes all the way what is today Israel, Lebanon, Syria, and Turkey, and then it goes again westwards. Okay, over there, not far from there is Haran. So the whole, basically, Jacob has to make its way, his way, crossing the whole width of the Mediterranean. Okay? This is a long, long journey. Okay? So, but what it says in the Midrashim, Rashi is teaching us that when he left to go, he basically did Kfitzat HaDerech. Kfitzat HaDerech, in simple Hebrew, means the road jump or the jumping of the road. Okay, it means, or in today's language, a quantum leap. What does it mean, a quantum leap? When you leap from A to B without being in the middle between A to B. How do you do that? Why does the Midrash have to mention that? That's going to make us mixed up. And the answer is that the whole parasha of Vayetze is about getting out. You know how many times we're speaking about being stuck? Person is stuck. Why am I stuck? Why things are not changing? Why everything is same? You know what? If things, it's like, what they say about life, it's like riding bicycles. If it's easy, it means you're down the hill. If it's hard, it means you're up the hill. Okay? So to really get out, that's much harder than just, going up the road, up the hill with bicycles. You have getting out means getting out of the box. And getting out of the box means a quantum leap. And what does mean a quantum leap? And here the Torah is giving us all kinds of weird stories that the commentators are making them even more weird. And Jacob got out of Beersheba and went to Haran. Why do I need, if somebody went from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, do I need to mention that he got out of Tel Aviv? No, he was in Tel Aviv. He went to Jerusalem. Why do you have to say he got out of? Because we have to understand the most important journey is the journey we make in our state of mind, perception. If we stay in the same place, in the same box, we never got out. You can get out physically from one place, move to another place, and never got out from the place, from the previous place. How do you know? Same old stuff, which means everything stays the same. The same paradoxes, the same conflicts, the same pain and no gain. And you say to yourself, like, I moved to another place. I thought I changed my environment and everything is the same, which means I never got out. I'm always in the same place. Doesn't matter how much effort do I put into it. Why? It's not a physical effort. It's a mental effort. What's the right mental effort to get out? What's the right mental effort to make the quantum leap? What does it mean, a quantum leap? In quantum mechanics, it means that you are in one. This is being taken for the from subatomic particles. Now we know that every atom has few kinds of orbits around the nucleus. Now, if we're talking about, let's say, hydrogen or helium, they have only one orbit. Okay, so the electrons they have, they just go around one orbit. But if you go into bigger atoms, like oxygen, for instance, oh, we have here two orbits already. Now, the problem is like this. Orbit number one abides by very different laws than orbits number two. So the question is, how does a particle, electron in this case, moves from orbit one to orbit two? Because, and that's why it's called quantum. Quantum means in Greek, a portion. You need a quantum, a portion of a very defined amount of energy to move the electron from orbit one to orbit two. If you give it half the energy, it stays in the same orbit. There's no one and a half orbits, it's only one or two. There's no one and a half, 1.1. There's nothing like this. How come? Not in the world of subatomic particles. There's nothing like this. So you add the electron, half a quantum, okay? Half a portion, no change. Three quarters, 99%, nothing. 100%, poof, there will be a quantum leap. There will be a hop. The electron will hop from one orbit to another. The moment it hops to the second orbit, totally different rules. It behaves like a totally different thing. That's called a quantum leap. And why is it connected to us? Because as long as am I stuck in the same old issues of, let's say, frustration, disbelief, misunderstanding, or my own understanding. You know, if you continue to think the way you used to think, you continue to get the way you used to get. Very simple. You want to get things differently. You want to make things differently. You want to experience life differently. You need to hop to another orbit. You need a quantum leap. How do you make that quantum leap? So here comes Jacob to give us the secret. The quantum leap is basically a miracle. What does it mean, a miracle? And we are starting today the new month, the month of miracles, the month of Kislev Sagittarius. It's known in Jewish tradition as a month of miracles, especially Hanukkah always falls in the Hebrew month of Kislev Sagittarius. Okay? Hanukkah. And Hanukkah is the holiday of miracles. But what really is the definition of a miracle? So in Hebrew, the word for a miracle is Ness. And Ness is coming from Psalms, the words lanus velitnosses, to flee up and above the box. Very simple. So, in simple English, and other languages also probably, a miracle is something that is not natural, right? What does it mean, not natural? That's so many ways you can explain not natural, okay? But here it's very specific. When you flee up, outside, and above your own box, your own private jail, that's a miracle. Out of your nature, creating a new nature. And that is called the quantum leap. So, the legend is saying that Jacob was capable of doing Kfitzat HaDerech, quantum leap. He was capable, just with the power of the mind, to hop from Beersheba directly into Haran, just like this. Today, we know, according to modern physics, that this is possible. Is it logical? No. Our logic cannot understand an object moving from here to here without being in all the points in the way. Our logic cannot understand it. Science is saying we cannot understand it, but it is possible. The fact is, since I think the theory was that it was possible since already 100 years ago, when the theory of quantum mechanics was published by Niels Bohr. But I think the first experiment that proved that was in 1974. And since then, there were more and more and more experiments proving, and today it's called entanglement, when you can deliver a particle, information, even atoms, from one point to another without them crossing through the road, which means the shortest way from A to B is not a straight line. That is in one realm. But there's another realm. Our brain cannot understand it, that you can go from A to B without using the straight line, without using a line. You disappear in A and you appear in B and everything is okay. That's called a miracle. That's called a quantum leap. Okay? That's called a real human transformation. When we speak about Abraham, this is logical. Somehow people learn that giving, you know what? It's a belief system. If you're just logical, why should I give? Would he return my giving back? Yeah, if he does, that's called commerce. It's not giving, right? That's called trade. I give you a product or a service, you give me money or another service. You do barter. Okay? I give you give me. Okay, we decide what's the equality. You know, how much money you give me or how much product you give me for my service. Okay, that's a matter of logic. Giving just as altruism, as unconditional love, without asking for anything in return, this is a vision that is beyond logic. This is Abraham. Why do people do that? It's illogical, right? It's illogical, scientifically illogical. You just give, you're losing money, you're losing time, you're giving away assets, resources that might save you in the future. Why would you give? But we know we give. Although our logic says you can't do that. Why? Why do we have the need to give? That's the prototype that is called Abraham. When I give, I connect my being with that vision that is called Abraham. This is the only way to connect straight forward to God. God is giving to me. I give him nothing in return. What can I give him? Whatever I have, I got from him. Okay. So I still give. And by giving that, I emulate God like Abraham. And my reward is that I'm becoming like Abraham, connected to God. I'm aligning myself with God's light. Is that safe? No, it's not enough. God created me also to receive. Therefore, I need also Isaac. I need, same time that I'm giving, I need to remember that I'm here also to receive. And therefore, when Abraham was sent to slaughter Isaac on the altar, and he was willing to do that, he thought, only giving, no receiving, Isaac has to go. And God says through his messenger, to his angel, do not touch the lad. What does it mean? Do not touch your desires. I am God. I created your desires so you receive pleasure because I created that you for that purpose. But you have to bound your desires. If you want to be happy, make other people happy. That's a binding. It's a binding agreement. You want to be happy, you have to make other people happy. You want to be successful, you have to support the success of other people. You want to be a person of greatness, you have to support other people in their journey to greatness. Which means, why is it that like? Because the moment we are focused on our own desires, we are the farthest away from God as possible. He's the great giver, and we are the finite receiver. We want little tiny things. What do you want? I want $1 billion. Yeah, I want $1 billion too. You know how much $1 billion is relatively to God? Nothing. Nothing. Really nothing. But when I'm focused on my owning the $1 billion, I am so egocentric. I'm not aligned with God. But if I want the $1 billion, because I know that with that, I can really make the world a better place. Oh, here we are in a different ballgame. But that needs a miracle. Again, you need irrational drive. And that's the Jacob idea. The Jacob idea is the synthesis between I give, I want. I know that I want means I was created. I cannot cancel my want. In many religions, you're supposed to detach yourself from your wants and your desires. In studying Kabbalah, you were created to receive, and the worst thing in the world is to deny yourself from wanting. Wanting to be happy, blissful, and successful, this is your main first mitzvah. God created that you for that person purpose. So you fulfill with his pleasure. As we said, you can do it only if you make that magic, as Jacob did. You hope. There is a quantum leap, irrational leap. One moment you are mortal, okay? If I give, I have less. If I receive, I can become unlucky. If I receive, the more I receive, I'll have more. But it doesn't work with reality. Because our sages are saying, Reshaim bechayem nikraim metim. Selfish people, they are dead while they're still alive. Why are they dead? Because the moment you're selfish and you're self-centered and you get centric, narcissistic, you're disconnected from the network of God. By the law of affinity, so you don't have the light of God. How many people have you met? Selfish and happy. I never met even one. Oh, you can have selfish people getting excited for a short time, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour. And then after the high comes the bye. Short circuit. The light cannot stay in the vessel because the vessel is self-centered. The desire is self-centered. But transforming that, synthesizing the desire to receive and the desire to give in the same spot. This synthesis is Jacob. This is the quantum leap. This is the ability to hop from Beersheba to Haran. Because he had the right state of mind, he thought he's going to Haran. He found himself where? In the place his father was bound by his grandfather. In that place that the temple was built, the Holy of Holies was built on later on. Suddenly, the Torah is saying it became night. What means it never became suddenly night? No, it became suddenly night. So Jacob had to sleep in that place. What does it mean? It's illogical. He sleeps, and in his sleep, he sees the ladder. He sees the ladder between the heaven and the earth. He sees God standing on top of the ladder, and God is giving him the blessing. And he wakes up, Jacob, and he says, "This is the gate of heaven." Was that an exaggeration? No. How do I know? 38 centuries later, billions of people think that the Temple Mount, that the Holy of Holies, that stone that Jacob slept upon, where today there is the Dome of the Rock, Which rock? Jacob's rock. Okay. This is the gate of heaven. Billions of people think that that's where, when you want to go to heaven, that's where you go up to. This is the connection to heaven. What does it mean a connection to heaven? And that's again the story of Jacob. It's a ladder that is standing on the earth and its head is in the heavens. It's being able that your head will be on one hand in the heavens and the other hand on the earth. I'm living a successful physical life at the same time with the infusion of spirituality, greatness, and vision. How could you do that? You can't without it. This is the miracle we are talking about it. It's not a miracle that happens once in a lifetime. It's a miracle that every human being has to perform daily in order to experience what we call success. If you're just a giver, you cannot. You're a human being. You're not God. You're not a source of light. If you give only what God gave you. If you give what God gave you, you'll stay depleted. A lot of people, they are givers, and they become bitter and depleted and miserable, and they're victims because they gave. And I thought when I give, deep inside, someone will give me back. That will not happen. Forget it. Don't ever do that. I explained it before. When it says love others as you love yourself, in Leviticus, it says, because I'm God. When you do it because that's a way to connect to God, God will give you the reward. Don't expect people to give you, they won't. That's not fair to us, and they're humans. They're very good in being without appreciation, without thankfulness. We do that too much. And especially when we don't really know how much the person who gave us think we should give him when it's a spiritual thing. Remember that. That's the most important thing to remember. How do we keep that miracle going? So, in order to be able to connect the heaven and the earth so the bliss flows in your life, you have to connect the right and the left, the Abraham and the Isaac, the giving and the receiving. As I said, being a professional means I'm giving a service, I'm creating, I'm doing the impossible in order to provide somebody with a solution. Okay? I know it's impossible. So how did I make it possible? That's out of the box. Why did it was it like this? Because when I want the solution just for myself, for my own ego, it won't be able. It won't happen. I'll never get out of the box. The only way to get out of the box is when you care genuinely, authentically for somebody else. That's the key to get out of the box. That's the quantum leap. So when I care for others, I'm doing favor only to myself. I'm training myself to hop the quantum leap, to create that miracle. That escape, that exit. How do you say exit in Hebrew? Yetziah. What's the name of the parasha? Vayetze. This is an exit. How do you exit out of your jail, out of the box, out of the old you, out of the dungeon? Learn to be there for others, not as a victim, as a mean. To connect to God, you know that I'm doing that as a way to make, to create fusion. You know, in years to come, we'll hear more and more about fusion. Fusion is about the miracle of creating endless energy just from hydrogen. You don't need oil, crude oil, you don't need uranium, just hydrogen. And you create almost infinite energy like the sun is creating. Okay, that's a future. Fusion. But fusion starts from yourself. When we take the giving and the receiving and you fuse them together, that's how we connect to Jacob. So, what is the problem? And as I said in the previous lessons, we are in an era that is so difficult to figure out, so challenging, because it's all about emunah. What is emunah? So you translate it into English into faith. No. Faith is a word in English. Emunah comes from the Hebrew word amen. Everybody knows amen. Why amen is so simple? Amen means fusion. Fusion of the above and below. Fusion between the male and the female. There is the giving and the receiving. That's what emunah is. It's a quantum leap of knowing that God is with you, that you have to create that fusion by simply having that commitment to be there for others, knowing that that's a way to connect to God. At the same time, never giving up on your desire to succeed. Here we have Jacob, it's like that person that is so honest and so man of truth, but he's deceiving his father and his brother. He is right now going into his how we call Lavan. He was the dark lord, the Voldemort of that ancient generation. He goes to Lavan, the cheat, the liar, that has no problem to want to kill his own nephew. Okay? The one who married his daughters, he has no problem to kill him and and his children. It's your brand. You know what? What a terrible person. And Jacob lives with him, gives him, provides him with service, and he becomes rich, unbelievably rich. And Lavan doesn't say, how can you do that? That's a quantum leap. This is the success that is unrelated to other people's envy, darkness, negativity, whatever you name it. When you are connected to the light of God, this is the quantum leap. When you have emunah, it's like you basically, we have to remember, all of humanity we hear because of the sin of Adam. When the snake, as we spoke about it last week, the snake cheated Adam and Eve, and he got the birthright. And his reincarnation was Esau. Our job as humans is to correct that. And what does it mean? Is what we hear in the book of Ecclesiastes. There's a verse, amazing one, chapter 7, verse 29. God made the human being, made Adam yashar, straight. What do I mean straight? What do I mean yashar? You simply do what you need to do. Vehema vikshu chishvonot, but Adam and Eve, they wanted to calculate. They wanted to take on, to be, we wanted to know, you read Genesis again, the beginning. When a snake says to Eve, when you eat the tree of knowledge, your eyes will open up. And the Zohar says they will open up to see the form of this physical world. And but what does that mean? In that moment, you can't see the real world anymore. You see just a world of lies, of illusions. You see people making a lot of money, you think they're successful, but when you get to know them closely, they're so miserable. Why? Because they're selfish. They thought, if I get money, power, whatever, I'll be happy. No. You can get money and power, but you need emunah. You need to make that fusion. And as the Zohar is saying, in this parasha, here Jacob is being cheated. His dream, he's planning all his life, how he's bringing to the world that soul of Joseph. He practiced with meditation. When he gets together with Rachel, his soulmate, he will bring to the world the soul of Joseph, Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. Joseph continues the line. Joseph is the foundation between the upper world and the physical world. Jacob knew that one of his major missions is to bring the soul of Joseph. However, what happens? It was not Rachel, that was Leah. He gets up in the morning, this is Leah. What a sabotage! What does Zohar says? Zohar Vayetze, verse 181. Ki yehu tov ha'oleh lemala ne'echaz be'etz ha'chaim. When you have a good thought, it goes up and connects to the tree of life. Machzik ba'anafav, it's holding to his branches, eating from his fruits. Kol ha'kedushot ve'kol ha'barachot yotzot mimeno, all the holiness, all the blessings flow from there. Ve'nochel chaim lenafsho, and inherits life to his soul. Urefuah latzmo, and healing to himself. Alav ne'emar v'ya ke'etz shatul al mayim. It's like, as it says in Psalms, like a tree planted over water. Kol divrei ha'olam, verse 182. Kol divrei ha'olam holchim achar machshava v'yehu. Everything in this world is a result of the thoughts. When we have thoughts, reactions, most of the time we have no control over them. But we create can create a miracle. What's a miracle? When you detach yourself from the thought, from the reaction, you stop that reaction. You overcome the reaction, and you connect to the will of God. How? Through your will. Yes, I want to be happy. But with you, God. I don't want to be angry. I know that every time I'm angry, I'm not with God. I don't want to be selfish. Every time I'm selfish, I know I'm not with God. I'm not with His light. I'm not with the tree of life. So when I stop the negative reaction, the selfish reaction, the natural reaction, I'm choosing to stop that just for a split second and to ascend to what I really want. To be one with God. And when I choose to be one with God, simply one with God, I choose to connect to God's light. I basically activate that is the power to overcome all of those chishvonot, calculations, calculations. What if I do that? What if I do that? I want to be in control. I'm not in control. I'm going to be in control. No, stop that. Make a quantum leap to the tree of life. You didn't get the connection, try again and again and again and train yourself with meditation. How do you know you connected to God? You feel the miracle. You feel the fusion. You're not angry anymore. You're not lustful anymore. You're not afraid anymore. You know you're going straight forward. You don't really understand that, and you don't really care because you know you're going with him, with the tree of life, with God. This is the magic of the true miracles of the month of Kislev, and our journey this week and this month is to find that miracle. When you go with that miracle, everything is possible, because whatever is logical has nothing to do with reality. It has to do only with the illusion of our cage, of our dungeon that we're here to get ourselves released from. Thank you so much. Shavua tov and Chodesh.